issues, why crabbing in the Aleutians and Bering Sea is no longer the most hazardous fishery job, and expect the lights to go out for 15 minutes during a planned power outage this Sunday. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Thursday, April 14th, 2016. Police have released the name of the fisherman found dead in the Carl E. Moses Boat Harbor this week. KUCB's Greta Mart has more.
The fisherman was 35-year-old Matthew Joseph Warren. His vessel captain discovered Warren was missing on Tuesday morning and started looking for him around town. But a hat belonging to Warren was found on the dock.
And that combined with some information that officers obtained from the captain, other crew, taxi drivers that they talked to, they put together that it was quite likely he had returned to the dock early in the wee hours of the morning.
Unalaska Deputy Police Chief Jennifer Shockley says when the captain alerted police, the search was focused on the marina from the start. Police brought in commercial divers who eventually found Warren's body under B Dock around 7:30 p.m. Tuesday.
This is the kind of tragedy that we see, I want to say, probably about every 2 years. Sometimes we find people who are reported missing, sometimes we don't. Almost all the times that we have a situation like this where somebody falls into the water in the night, we almost never have anybody who saw anything, which is, you know, part of the reason why they end up this way.
Police released the man's name after they notified his next of kin. Shockley says Warren's father called to receive the news. Not much else is known about Warren, other than he lived in Anchor Point, Homer, and Fairbanks at various times in his life. At this point in the investigation, police have no specific reason to suspect foul play. Warren's body was flown to Anchorage yesterday for an autopsy, and Shockley says it'll be a few weeks until they know the precise cause of death. Police welcome any information that could help in the investigation.
If they've got, you know, any reason to think they saw something that might be important to us, we think he returned back to or headed towards his boat around 1 in the morning on the 12th. So if there's, you know, anybody who saw something that they think might be relevant, we'd sure ask them to come forward and talk to an officer about it.
Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Greta Mart.
Safety in the Bering Sea Aleutian Island crab fleet is improving. In the 1990s, 73 crew members died, making the BSAI crab fleet the most hazardous commercial fishery in the United States. A report from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health shows that there was only one fatal injury from the 2005-2006 season to the 2012-2013 season. The researchers attribute safety improvements to the Coast Guard compliance checks and the shift to a quota-based system. Senator Lisa Murkowski continues to push for reliable emergency medical transportation to King Cove. Murkowski says the only solution for the community of 900 is an 11-mile gravel road connecting King Cove to Cold Bay through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. In a hearing this morning, she says, quote, "It is time to ensure that King Cove finally has reliable access to emergency medical transportation, something that virtually every other American takes for granted." Audubon Alaska supports a solution for the community, but Beth Paluzzo says the Eisenbeck Refuge is globally significant and needs to be protected.
And that's not something that just affects that area. You have pretty much the entire, more than 90% of the Pacific Brant population goes through Eisenbeck Refuge during both fall and winter migration. And that's a species that's widely used as a subsistence harvest throughout the state of Alaska.
In 2013, the U.S. Department of the Interior rejected a proposed land swap that would have allowed the road to be built, citing the importance of protecting the designated wilderness areas. Since then, King Cove has had 42 medevacs, 23 for medical emergencies. A study from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers suggests three non-road options for medevac, including ice-capable marine vessels, a fixed-wing aircraft and new airport, or a helicopter and heliport. The state legislature is still working to finalize the state budget before this 90-day session ends. Representative Bryce Edgman says he doesn't support shifting costs from the state to the municipalities or school districts.
I think that's just kicking the can down the road, as they say. And by golly, if we're going to have to seek out and raise new revenues, I think it should be broad-based across the state and hopefully bring in the non-residents who use our services. But at this point, unlike, 43 other states across the country would be paying their share of the bill as well.
The Dillingham resident says he will vote in the best interest of his district, but you can't always get what you want.
Sometimes you have to vote to support something that's, as they say, the proverbial half the loaf or three-quarters of a loaf or whatever it might be. And so there'll be measures of that nature coming down the pike that I will support. And like everybody else, look to either readdress it next year or, maybe some other time.
Although the session is scheduled to conclude on Sunday, the legislature could extend the session. Unalaska is sending four students to the Senior All-Star Basketball Game in Anchorage this weekend. Ben Enloe and Brian Earnshaw are representing the state championship-winning boys team, and Sue Yoon and Alana Kuchutin are playing in the girls' 1A-2A game. Expect the power to go out on Sunday evening for roughly 15 minutes. Public Utilities Director Dan Winter says his crew needs to do some preventative maintenance and install what's called a Viper switch. Winter says the switch controls and protects the powerhouse from outside electrical interference. Scheduled for 8 p.m. Sunday, the outage will affect both Unalaska and Mackinac Islands. Winters does not expect the installation to take more than a quarter hour, so the city's power grid should be back up around 8:15 p.m. Asked about a brief power outage yesterday, Winter says it was caused by a vapor lock on an engine at the new powerhouse. There is also a two-hour isolated power outage scheduled for Tuesday, but it should only affect the area around Henry Swanson Drive and Gilman Road. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.